All right, 1 John chapter 3 tonight, 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. We'll get halfway through this section tonight. How to send your guilt trip packing. How about that? How to send your guilt trip packing. Get that thing out of here. So we'll look at these verses tonight and see what great things God will do for us and help us and prepare us to be successful and prosperous in our Christian life. Let's ask God's help and direction as we begin tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your blessing here throughout this day. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. And that's why we're here, especially tonight, to look at that. It's all about our great Savior. It's about him and his desires for us and his wisdom and direction that he is sharing. And so we're so thankful for that. Thank you for each one who's able to come out tonight. We pray your blessing on each one and those that may be listening by way of the internet. We ask your richest blessing upon them as well. Guide our very footsteps here tonight. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me. I need that. I can't do this without you, so please fill me now. And lead, guide, and direct us in our message tonight. We look to you. We look to you only. Do not look to man at all. We give you praise, give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. We'll read them and get in here tonight. 1 John 3, beginning verse number 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Have you ever been praying along and suddenly your conscience starts to act up? And your conscience starts to ask you questions and give you some accusations. You're trying to pray and your conscience says to you, who do you think you are coming to God for anything? Remember that sin you were with this past week? Remember those harsh words that you said? Remember that bad attitude that you had today? You're a rotten sinner. What about those wicked imaginations and that lust and those horrible thoughts that go through your mind? You should have witnessed to that person yesterday. What right do you think you have to come to God and ask him for anything? Ever been there? Or something like that? Not all of it at one shot. You know, the devil's good at his attacks and our little conscience kind of goes along with that. And so it's hard to pray when you don't have assurance and confidence that God is really listening to you. It's like we've committed this sin or whatever it is, and our conscience says, well, now because of that, you know, even though you confessed that, you know, God's not listening because you're bad. You were a bad boy. You were a bad girl. Well, John helps us out with that in this portion of Scripture here tonight. And the key is in the middle of the passage in verse number 23, where we learn that we should believe in Jesus and number two, love one another. And on both sides of verse number 23, we are given motivation. In verses 19 to 22, which we're going to look at tonight, 19 to 22 provides the first motivation, and then verse 24 provides the second motivation. And so the topic of this section is confidence. We want to have confidence when we go to God in prayer. A lot of times we go to God in prayer and we have a good prayer session, and sometimes we walk away and our conscience says, do you think anything's really going to happen? Do you think that was worth it? Well, you know it was. Your conscience was being bad. All right, you spent that time. Prayer's never wasted, and so we need to have this confidence, and that's what John's talking about. And John uses three key words in this portion: the word know, the word assure, and the word confidence. Confidence. Confidence is based on three things. Number one, confidence is based on our belief in Jesus as our Savior. We have that one. Number two, we have confidence because we are in the family of God. Okay, good. And number three, because we love one another here in the church. And so confidence is based on those things. And so they are all pulling for us. They are all helping us. Therefore, we can come to God with our request with confident assurance that He is going to hear us. And that brings us to our first point tonight, our major point that we'll be looking at this evening, point number one: assurance for an unsure heart. Assurance for an unsure heart. Verse number 19 begins with these words, and hereby we know. You could also say it, by this we know. And this refers back to the previous passage, the previous paragraph that we looked at before, where the topic is love for our fellow believers. And now John is building on that right now. Since we love our fellow believers, we know that we are of the truth, it says in verse number 19. We love and we obey God. And hereby we know appears again in verse number 24. And so those words, and hereby we know, bracket the whole paragraph. And this knowledge allows us to assure or reassure our hearts. The word heart here refers to our conscience. A clear conscience gives us confidence. It's always a neat thing. You hit the pillow at night and you pray your prayer before you go to sleep, and your sins are all confessed up and you've laid things out before the Lord, and it's just clear, nice, sweet, blank, no sin there. And so it's a wonderful thing, and it gives us confidence to approach our God at any time in prayer or in worship. Now, our cars, our automobiles or trucks or SUVs, whatever we're driving, on the dashboard they have warning lights, otherwise known as idiot lights. And at times they will flash and they will let us know that something is wrong. Sometimes, and you might do this, I've done this, I don't know how many times, you know, put the thing in gear and push the pedal and I'm not going anywhere. What's going on? Oh, there's a light there. What's that? Oh, your emergency brake is on. Might help to release that. Oh, okay, now we're going to go. All right, another light comes on. Oh, I see why the smoke's coming out from under the hood. We're overheating here. Where we're going down the road, we're kind of sitting like this, and a light comes on and says, oh, your tires are low. Got to fill them up. Or another one comes on, lets you know, oh, the alternator is not charging. Better do something about that, or you're going to be sitting along the road somewhere, and that's not good. Well, you know, our conscience is like those warning lights. Okay, almost said the other one. Our conscience is like that a lot. It's our built-in, God-given warning system. And if we ignore the car's warning system, it could mean a lot bigger repair bill than if we had done something about it right away. Same thing with our conscience. If we ignore our conscience, the trouble may grow a lot bigger. So as a Christian, your conscience, since you're saved, your conscience is much better. It is much sharper. The bright lights come on and you really see it. They're louder. And as a believer, you sense things better. We have a better and a greater responsibility. So, quote, to be assured is to exhibit confidence and assurance in a situation where the lost person is going to experience fear. Well, we don't know because we know the Lord. Our conscience, our warning lights are working, and we don't have that. We have assurance in our Savior. So conscience left to itself is not an adequate guide. In verse number 20, John says that our conscience might condemn us while we are praying. We talked about that a little bit at the beginning. You know, just starts talking to us while we're praying. And so what happens in verses 20 and 21, I'm going to read those again, and I want you to think about a courtroom scene. It's kind of like we're in our own little courtroom, verses 20 and 21. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. So we have this little trial going on in our conscience. And in this scene, our conscience is acting as prosecutor, defense attorney, witness, judge, and jury. So all of this in our conscience, we're doing this all at the same time. So furthermore, it seems court is in session at some point of our life every day during the day. Do you ever notice that? At some point, we have this, we're going to court, our own little courtroom, and our conscience is talking to us, and our conscience is reviving something that happened way long ago and running the tapes by us and all this kind of stuff. And so it goes on every day. And sometimes we know that when the conscience is speaking that we are guilty as sin. But other times, our conscience may condemn us when we are not guilty of sin at all. Sometimes when we are praying, we get a keen sense of our unworthiness. Sometimes this is satanic in nature. We get all mixed up in our prayer. We get, as the Dutch would say, verhuddled. Yet God is greater than our conscience and knows everything about us. Everything about us. Everything even way down deep inside. God is omniscient and never has to call any witnesses. You ever think about that? God has it all together. No need. He's everything. He knows it all. He doesn't have to learn anything. And he's never forgotten anything. And because God knows everything about us, he is sometimes more merciful on us than we are on ourselves. Do you ever find in your little conscience that you're beating yourself up? Go back and think about whatever it is, and you're just taking it out on yourself, and God doesn't do that. No, our God is very, very merciful, more merciful with us than we are to ourselves sometimes. God is greater than our accusing conscience. So he understands our weakness, and he loves us in spite of our weaknesses. Though we desire to meet the standards of conscience, sometimes we just fall short. And when we are living and loving as we ought, even if our oversensitive conscience condemns us, we take comfort in knowing that God is greater than our conscience. and he will take care of that, and he will have mercy. Our conscience is not the Supreme Court. Okay? We have one greater, greater court in heaven, God. God is the greatest court of all. Although it was a blessing the other day when we did have a 9-0 decision, you know, with our Supreme Court. I can't remember when the last time that happened. So that was very, very interesting to have unity like that. So they were sort of being like our Lord. He has everything perfect, best call every time. We can speak freely and confidently to our God. When the commanding officer enters the barracks, everyone jumps to attention. When the commanding officer says, "At ease," everyone breathes a little bit easier. God, who knows our hearts, says to our conscience, "At ease. Take it easy. This is not a big deal." Now, let's move on to verse number 22. Chapter 3, verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." As we ask in prayer, we do so as we obey the word of God. And we do so not because it's our duty to do so, it's because we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we desire to obey him. Now, this verse, if you read it a certain way, you might think that we have carte blanche to get anything we want. I looked up that word today because I didn't really know how to say that. Carte blanche. And I noticed that carte blanche means having a blank sheet of paper, nothing on it. And so this verse is telling us that we don't have a blank sheet of paper to just write down everything that we think the Lord ought to give us and expect that he's going to do that. Okay, we don't have that. That's not what this is talking about. If God gave us everything we asked for, what would we be? Spoiled brats, right? Everything, carte blanche, everything you want, here it is. Spoiled, we would be self-centered little children of God. Well, John's point is that as we live in obedience to the word and to the will of God, our prayers will be reflections of his will and thus will be readily answered. So we pray according to his will, and his will happens. Childlike confidence makes you pray as nothing else can. We can pray for big things, and we can pray for little things, and we should. Like the fellow we talked to in Ocean City, what the pastor said down there, pray about everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Pray about everything, and we can do that. We can pray about everything, anything and everything. God does not see any of our prayers as an insult. We don't need to worry about that. Like, go to the Lord and pray. Well, you know, if I bring this to God, it's going to be kind of an insult to him. You know, why should, you know, this just isn't something that we should not look at it at that way at all. God is so happy when we come to him in prayer. He's so thankful when we are there. And the more often we're there, the better he loves that. And so we should go there and we should ask for whatever it is, big things, little things, any size things. And we can do so because we have confidence like a child. God hears everything we pray. And he understands all the ins and outs of our prayers. He understands our motives. He understands our reasons. He understands everything about that prayer that we are praying to him. We do not come into God's presence in prayer with fear. We do not come quaking with fear like the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz. We don't do that. That is not the way the child of God is. That's not how we approach God. We don't approach Him with fear and trembling, quaking in our shoes. We draw near with confidence, and that's what John wants us to do here. The Holy Spirit works within us so that we can hate the sin and love our God. We can pray with extreme confidence as we obey God's commands. Obedience is an evidence of our genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John speaks here about obedience as a prerequisite for answered prayer. John puts a big emphasis here on obeying the Lord as a prerequisite for answered prayer. We obey and we love one another. We have this confidence in prayer because we do what He says. If we're doing what He says, we come with great confidence. And God is very pleased, very, very pleased when we obey Him. Spin that around the other way. God is displeased when we disobey Him. Godliness and sincere worship cannot be separated from our faith. There are too many spiritual forgers out there who sign Jesus' name to their prayer checks. Only those who are true believers have the right to claim the promise of verse number 22. And let's read that again. Promise. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And one more thing. God's promises are not mottos to hang on the wall. They are checks to be taken to the bank. Remember that. His promises are checks to be taken to the bank. Let us pray. Father, thank You so much for the great promises of Your Word. And John has, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, given us some tremendous wisdom here in these few verses that we have looked at tonight. And so we ask as Your children here, let us be confessed up, let us be in obedience, let us be loving one another and coming in confidence to You in our prayer life, looking forward to the great answers that You're going to give, because we are placing our faith, our trust, and our dependence totally in You and no one upon the face of this earth. We give You praise, give You thanksgiving. We ask for Your richest blessing upon each one in our congregation here at Faith Chapel. Use and bless each one mightily in this coming week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.